that precious blood that flowed from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel his presence. My soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry.
I've been washed. How oft I cried when far away from you, my heart would catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights. Down on my knees in prayer, I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now, oh God, I know I need you. My soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry.
I've been washed.
I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the fountain.
My soul was hungry.
You glad to know that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. And if you haven't been, I'm here to tell you this morning you can be. This would be a great day for somebody to be born in the family of God. Amen. To be washed and cleansed of all your sins. Boy, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord today. We have Brother Bo Spriggs with us this morning, and his precious wife is here. She'll be singing in a few moments, and Brother Bo is going to just bring us the word today. I'm asking you to please pray for him. Amen. And we just need to hear from heaven today. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, choir, for that great singing. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service. Brother Celon, would you pray for us this morning? Amen. We're going to stay down that same road this morning Church, would you stand, join the choir as we sing together? Page 177, Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? All right, everyone sing together now. Have you been? Sing now. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? On the last, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean, holy washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood?
Sing it again.
Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Just a couple of quick announcements this morning. We want to praise the Lord, first of all, for what He has done for Miss Claudia. She had her surgery early in the week. She went home a day or so later, I believe, and we are so thankful for what the Lord has done. Give Him a hand clap of praise because He's worthy. Amen. I know she was really dreading the surgery. She was very anxious. But I'm so thankful this morning that the Lord's brought her through that safely. And she is at home recovering. Just please continue to lift her up in prayer. And I know she really wanted to be here this morning, didn't she? She was fighting with them to get to the house. But she needs to stay home and rest for a little bit. But please remember her in prayer. But we do praise the Lord for what He's done in her life this week. We're thankful for that. Also, please remember Carrie. She actually drove herself, that's Claudia's daughter, she actually drove herself to the hospital this week, and I believe she is still there, am I right? So please remember her in prayer. I'm sorry. She's home. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. She's had quite an eventful week, and so please remember the family in prayer and ask God's hand to be upon them. Please remember again, Brother Bo will be bringing our message this morning. Also, please remember that on Thursday, I have a special announcement for you, and I want to make sure we get it right. Would you please share with us this morning? And food. There we go. There's a magic word. There'll be food. So this Thursday, though, at 1 o'clock in the fellowship hall will be the work for the shoeboxes. So if you can, please come and be a part of that. If you have any questions, Miss Cassie's here this morning. You can ask her. But please be here Thursday at 1 o'clock as they continue work on the ministry for the shoeboxes. Homecoming, September the 6th. Please mark it on your calendars. We're just a couple of weeks away, and we will be there. But we have, we're looking for a great day here. We have Brother Gerald Harris, Dr. John Gerald Harris, will be here bringing the message. Second Coming will be here. That's a group that Jackson travels with, and Carter's always there helping them out as well. So you please make that a matter of prayer And that will be at 10:30 that morning, September the 6th. We'll have no Bible study that morning. Choir will come and we'll work on a couple of songs early. Second Coming singing, Dr. Gerald Harris bringing the word, and we're very thankful for that. Starts at 10:30. Invite folks to come, and let's feel the house of God. And we look forward to what we will hear and feel on that day. And we just pray the Lord would give us a very special day here so we have homecoming at Calvary. No evening service, so come and just spend some time. There's also a sign-up sheet down front for the meal, so please go ahead and sign up for that. And we need food. There's that word again. It keeps coming up, doesn't it? If we're going to get together, we might as well eat. Amen. But so please remember that. There'll also be a special call for prayer. You'll see a sign-up list down front. And we're going to have a 24-hour of prayer that'll start on Friday at 7 o'clock p.m. The church will be open for 24 hours. And someone will be here at the church. We're not just going to send you in and not have someone here. So if you would like to spend some time, and we really, really need prayer. Amen. We're searching for one thing, and that's for God to send us a pastor. He knows the man, and he knows the time. So we want to try our best to find the will of God concerning us having a pastor. And that's pretty much what we're going to designate that time to. It's a call, a prayer for a pastor. So please sign up on the list. I would say this morning, I haven't spoken with anyone about this, but I would say, if you just don't feel comfortable or you're unable to get to the church, please send your name. Go ahead and let's put it down here on the list. You may be listening by Facebook, and if you want to contact me or anyone here at the church and say, I'll give an hour of prayer. I'll pray for 2 hours, but I just can't get to the church. We'll go ahead and put your name on the list and just call on God for a couple of hours, 1 hour, whatever you can give, as we seek and search for God's will in this matter. So let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer this morning. Thank you for being here today. If you're visiting with us, you're our special guest, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship today, and it is great to see you here in the house of God. Father, we love you, and we come before you this morning. Lord, a people in need, Lord, we're searching, Lord, and seeking for your will and for your way to be accomplished here at Calvary. Lord, I thank you for your man that you've sent this way to preach your word today. Lord, I sense his heart. He has a humble spirit, and I'm thankful, Lord, that he's come this way. Lord, and I know that you're going to speak through him, Lord, that we need to hear. May our hearts and our minds be open to receive your word. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would so fill this place. Lord, we may be few in number, but Lord, we're seeking you, and Lord, we're asking you just to speak to us and to touch us. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. If there's someone here today that's never accepted you, Lord, as their personal Savior, Lord, may this be the day that they'd come to realize that and come to know you as the Lord of their life. Lord, I pray that you'd just touch hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would be with these that are sick and going through troubled times. Lord, I pray that your hand, Lord, would be upon them. Thank you for healing. Lord, thank you that you are the master physician in charge and in control. Thank you for what you've done this week for Claudia and for others, Lord, that are struggling. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless this time that we have together. Touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know exactly what is needed in this place, Lord, being the remaining part of the singing, Lord. And I pray that you would accept our worship and our praise. We'll be careful to praise you. And thank you now for what would be accomplished here today at Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Where there was hate, love now abides. And where there was confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm a child of the King. And it's all because I am redeemed.
I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has saved my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am,
I'll tell of God's favor. I'll tell you of His love. I'll tell of His goodness, God's goodness to me. For He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood. And from sin I've been set free.
I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just
we are honored today to have not only Bo here to preach for us, but his wife is here with him this morning. She's going to come and share a song with us. Would you please make her welcome this morning? Please come.
Thank you. don't know where you are this morning, but He knows your name. I said He knows your name this morning, church. He's. I told her sitting down there a minute ago, I wanted to set the song up. And she says, "Nah, it's no need." So basically, that's like saying, "I got this. You just go do your job." I've been married 25 years. I'm getting the hang of this thing just a little bit, not much. You ever seen a bowl of spaghetti? All the noodles are all connected. That's the way my stomach feels right now because all this is connected. So take me a minute to get wound up. But when I do, I promise to hopefully deliver what the Lord has laid on my heart. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about that song. In 2019, this young lady right here, 17, I'm sorry, they all run together. She had a blood clot an inch and a half away from her main artery and almost died. It may not mean much to you, but to me, that was my wife. That was my companion. That was my friend. And she's laying in a hospital, and they give her a bunch of medicines. One of them has a bag about this long, and it was about $8,000. And then all of a sudden, after going through all of this surgery to clear the blood clot, they thought it was a great idea to send us home. The only problem is they gave us a medicine called heparin. Not many people are allergic to heparin, but she is, and we didn't know it. So it all started the whole process all over again. Everything that the doctors had done was all coming back. So she laid in the hospital, in Kennestone Hospital, for 19 days. She never once said anything, never once opened her mouth. She stood there the whole time and just gave God glory and gave God honor and praise. And here I am wondering, what in the world are you doing, Lord? Because I have no idea. And all she kept saying was, "He knows my name. He knows my name. I don't know what you're facing this morning, but He knows your name." A couple of weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, she had some major surgery. They have took out 8 inches on this side and 4 inches of this side of the colon. Been down a few weeks, still going strong for the Lord, still getting up there singing. Because not only does He know her name, but she knows His name. She knows the great physician. There is no Beau without Tiffany. She's a vital part, and I'm grateful that God has blessed me with a wife that loves God. And she has a pretty voice. The only problem that I have with her voice is she likes to sing my part. Okay? I'm a tenor, okay? Some of you that play, you understand. So she likes to sing tenor because she doesn't want to sing the high alto. She drops down to the tenor part. And I don't like that because I'm thinking I'm off key, brother. And that's the worst thing for a song leader, to be off key, isn't it? So I said all that to say that I'm grateful, it's amazing that God still blesses her. The great physician has healed her body. She's doing wonderful, and it is a blessing. Those two people sitting behind her are two of our best friends. We've met them. I like it when God sends your best friends when you're serving in the ministry. Those two right there have served with us. They love us. They come support us in anything we do. And Miss Jefferson is very crafty and talented. She can do just about anything that I've asked her to do. So I say all that just to thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm going to get to the Word of God here, and this is going to go. I only have 5 points and 23 verses, and then we'll go. Find somewhere to eat because the food thing has got me going, okay? I am ready for some food. So if you don't mind, in reverence to the Word of God, and this is going to, if you'll take your Bible and you'll stand and turn to Psalms 23, I know they're going to have it on there. We're going to give honor to the Word of God, and then if you're able to stand, please stand, and we'll read God's Word, and then we'll start the message. Psalms 23, starting in verse 1, familiar scripture. You can study the history of this, and if you find out a little bit about David, you'll understand. I've actually been to Israel, and I was able to be fortunate to go to where historians say he wrote this verse or put this set of verses together. And I just love what it says. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Verse 3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for an opportunity, Lord, just to brag on Jesus this morning. Lord, I just want to move myself out of the way, Lord, and I pray that you would use the Word of God this morning to speak to your people. Lord, I've already confessed to you, unless you show up, this will not turn out well, Lord, and I need you this morning. I need you to deliver it exactly like you delivered it to me, Father. And Lord, they need help this morning in the sanctuary. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be a generation that seeks the Word of God, Lord, that it will and apply it to our lives, that we would be different, Father, and we would change not just inside of ourselves, but inside the church house. Lord, we're just going to give you all the honor, glory, and praise for us. In Jesus' name we pray, and they all said, amen. Thank you so much for standing for the honor of the Word of God. I have a simple thought this morning, and like I said, I won't, as you can look at me and tell, I like to participate in food. So if there's an auction for food later on, I might be willing to partake in that, and we definitely we're gonna go to a familiar scripture, and that I know most of you will know as soon as I say the book. But I want to bring a simple point this morning, and it's going to be. And I normally don't title messages. I just don't. But I titled this one. It's called Ruin to Redemption. We're going to look at this morning in the book of Ruth, and if you want to take your Bibles and turn there, I want to read to you, though, what I think sets up. If you know anything about Bible study and you've looked around, if you read the last text of the last verse of the book before, you're going to find out something about the next book. And so what I want you to think about is, what's the book before the book of Ruth? Judges. So imagine we have two books here. The book of Ruth was actually happening during the time of the book of Judges. Okay? So when you're studying Scripture, and that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to compare Scripture to Scripture. I'm not going to give you probably anything that's new, but if you look at the last verse and listen intently, in Judges 21:25, it says, "In those days, there was no king and in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Are we not living in that generation right now? We're living in that generation. They're doing what they think is right in their own eyes. They're not following the Word of God, and they're not following Scripture. They were doing that in those days. And it's funny because when you look at those 12, I thought the Lord was going to allow me to use some of the stuff I have in Judges, and obviously that didn't happen. But you look at each one of those judges. The judges comes by, they're in sin, they repent, they get right, they get some peace, and then boom, they go right back as soon as that judge dies, and it's a continual cycle. It's almost the definition of insanity. It just keeps going around and around, and they keep doing the same thing. And if we're not careful, we will do the same thing in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. And then we will look at God and go, "God, where are you? Where you at, Lord?" And God's like, "I've been here the whole time." He says, "In those days, there was no king. And obviously, every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Now, if you study where, if you say, well, where did this book Where did it fit? Most, if you read behind some people and you do some studying, it's probably somewhere chapters 6, 7, and 8. I would say it was early in the book of Judges, based on some studies that I read. But this, when we get to the book of Ruth, it's one of the most beautiful stories in Scripture. You know, it contains only 4 chapters, and it's been, and if I'll tell you, for some of you young folks that back there, don't go watch the movie, because the movie that they have out is not lining up with the Word of God. You say, how do you know that? Because I already watched it, and it doesn't work. It doesn't line up. There's some things in there that aren't exactly right, and that's okay. That's not my soapbox. I'm just telling you. It says, obviously, Ruth was a story that begins with a famine. It begins with a funeral. It begins with heartbreak. It also, you know, you're going to see a wedding in this book. You're going to see a birth. You're going to see a family line that starts pretty bad in the beginning. But what God does in restoration is amazing through this book. And like I said, I'm just giving you a simple outline this morning. And it won't, I promise you, they'll move really, really quickly. But my first thing I wanted to give you is some context. Obviously, the book of Ruth starts in a day where there was so much turmoil and so much going on. And to have this man, and it starts off, and I think he's got the scripture pulled up. But if you'll look at our key scripture this morning in 16 and 17, you see this famous verse, and they use this a lot at weddings. It says, whether thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Ruth had, she had an interesting thing happen in her life. There was this man, obviously, for paraphrasing, Elimelech, who comes, and, you know, anybody know? I just like asking questions, because does anybody know what Elimelech's name means? Really interesting name. Elimelech is in Bethlehem. And Elimelech, in verses starting in chapter 1, he says, he goes and he takes verse 2 there. He says, and there was a man named Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. They had 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem of Judah. And they came unto a country of Moab, and they continued there. So the Elimelech's name means, my God is king. So my God is king is living in Bethlehem, the house of bread. That's what that really means. So my God is king. You're thinking, this sounds great. My God is king is living in Bethlehem, the house of bread. He gets the looking around, and there just happens to come a famine. And I'm sorry, sound guy. They hate me at times, so I'll move it up so it won't do that. I had the little piece on, but I knocked it off. Sorry, that's a squirrel moment. Elimelech goes and he moves his family to a foreign land on the other side, to Moab. Now, the problem is when he does that because he's thinking, and before you get mad at Elimelech, just think about this. There's no bread where they're at. They're in a famine. I don't know if you've ever been hungry. But if you've ever been hungry and without food, it's not fun. It's just not. I mean, now he's there. He's trying to figure out. I've got a wife. I've got 2 boys, and we need food. What are we supposed to do? So he gets this bright idea to take his family, and they move over to Moab. When I was younger, I used to tell the kids all the time. In children's church, that Moab was a picture of a truck stop bathroom. And Moab, truck stop bathrooms are pretty nasty, by the way. You know, they're just, now they're not like, that was before Buc-ee's, by the way. I'm not trying to hit on Buc-ee's, but. So they would go, and they move to Moab, and they're looking for bread. And here's the problem. Let's read scripture as we go. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, dies. Wow. All he did was move his family over here, and now they're dead, and he's dead. And you say, oh my goodness, where's God? Because his name means my God is king. and he goes over to Moab, and they're sitting in Moab, and he dies. Now Naomi is left with two sons. And by the way, the two sons are sitting there, and they've obviously watched their dad. And then the sons go, well, I guess we'll just need to take us two wives. And they take the two wives in Moab. And if you haven't, if you want to know, just curious, Moab's came from, if you go back and you chase back to Lot, obviously Lot had two daughters. And after Lot, and he demolished Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot takes those two daughters and they run off to a cave. And what they have seen, those two daughters, honestly, they thought that God had wiped out all the men. So they now what they did was wrong. They turn around and they have children with their father, which is wrong. But that's where the Moabites and the Amorites come from. So, and they're cursed for the rest of their life, to generations. And this is the same people that My God is King takes his family to. Could you imagine the first day in Moab? Oh, Elimelech's walking by and goes, how you doing? My name is Elimelech. And you went, what is My God is King doing in Moab? He's supposed to be over there in Bethlehem. Can I challenge us Christians? Sometimes we go to places we shouldn't be. And if we ain't careful, we get in trouble there. Because they look at us and go, well, why are you here? You're supposed to be a Christian. There's just places we ought not go. We ought to be careful with that. We ought to guard our testimony. Here's what they say to me a lot of times. I go, aren't you that pastor over there at Grace? Uh-huh. Yeah, I am. So I have to be careful where I go and what I do. Because somebody is watching. And it's very, very important, not only for me. Number one is, you know, I don't want to risk, obviously I sure don't want to risk what happened to Elimelech to me. Not that I'm afraid of dying, but I definitely, so they get there, they take the two wives. You know, it's funny because if you look at, and the points will go faster than the setup. He has one son named Mahlon, which means sick. So Mahlon is going to marry one of the a daughter from Moab, and Chilion is going to marry another daughter. So sick and tired are going to marry two Moabitess women. And guess what happens? The sick and tired, they die. So now you've got Naomi and two daughters-in-laws. And it's that's the scene as we set up through Scripture. And I want you to see my very first point this morning in Scripture in 16 was faith remains faithful. Can I tell you that God will always be faithful? Even when we're not, God is always going to be faithful. There are times, and I know we're live on Facebook, but I've been in ministry a long time. And you know, there's times where I've seen things happen and I'm like, Lord, how in the world are you going to take this mess and do anything good for it? Because it looks bad. It looks bleak. And PJ's over there shaking his head. We face some things in ministry that are hard, that would run people away. But they shouldn't. Don't run away because you're still going to Walmart with them. We ought to be running to this right here. This is where we need to run. And instead of Elimelech running to Moab, he should have been running to the Word of God and to get along with God, because that's what My God is King means. So faith, even during difficult times, and obviously we see that. You see what Ruth said to her. She said, look, she said, I'm going to go where you go, lodge where you lodge. Thy people shall be My people, and thy God My God. Moabites were not serving the God of Israel. They were not doing it. They were serving other gods, and it wasn't very pretty, and that's not my thing, is to chase those gods. And you say, well, do you have some scripture for that? Yes, I'm glad you asked. Job 13:15 says this. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. No matter what's going on in my situation, Job was determined that no matter how bad it got, he was going to serve God. You can look at Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge, our strength, a very pleasant help, a present help in trouble. There may be times you may be going through something right now that you just feel like you are weak and you can't do anything else. Just remember Psalm 46. He's like, look, God is, he's our refuge. He's our strength. And you say, well, I need a little something more than that. Okay, Hebrews, we're going to get a lot of scripture, so I'm just going to give them to you. I hope you enjoy it. And Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for. Look at this. The evidence of things not, see, because you and I can't see what's, we don't understand what's going on right now. Because all we see is the problem. We don't see, how many of y'all know what, is it called tapestry? Where you stick the things in and you do all that stuff. If you look at the back of the tapestry, where those little things you put the needles in and stuff, you look at that thing and it looks like mass chaos. It does, doesn't it? Until you do something that's really, really unique. You turn it and look at a different view. No matter what we think is going on in, because see, it's not just Calvary having problems in church. There's a lot of churches having some issues. And we got to change our focus and our view. Quit looking at the back and look at the front. Because we had a Savior that died on a cross and shed his precious blood for your sin, my sin, and for the whole world. You don't think he doesn't know what's going on and got control? I do. That's what we got to change the perspective and the view. That's what we all have to do that. I have a 28-year-old, and there's times, I'll be honest, her and my view aren't the same. It looks bleak and bad. It's totally different. But if my faith doesn't remain faithful, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to do no different than what Elimelech did. I'm going to go join over here to a different country and a different and start worshiping something else. I would put it up. Sorry, Gen X, you start worshiping these things, you change your perspective, change your view. Now, I like technology. I think it's great. I still use it. But my view and my perspective, so I have to remain faithful. Faith is this things hoped for, not yet seen. For we must walk by faith and not by sight. That drummer back there, can I borrow you? Because your son said I could. Yeah, I like it when I get y'all. I just only know one way. How many of y'all can read something and understand it? If that's you, bless your heart. That's not me. I am what we call a visual learner. Any of my visual learners in the room with me? Oh, you're one too. Yes, then you're gonna make sense. This is just it's clean. It's not dirty. I'm just gonna change your vision a little bit. You okay?
It looks like you're gonna take it away.
I am. Could you okay. Put that on for me?
Yes, sir.
And just make sure that you can't see. You know this church pretty well, right?
Yes, sir.
Walk by faith, not by sight. Right. So you can't see nothing, right?
That's true.
You sure? All right, you sure? All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, so let me spin you around a little bit. Yeah, that's not fair. Move around. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you right in the center. Hold on, let me. Yeah, you're, oh, no, you're too far. All right, so you're right in the center of the aisle of the church. All right?
Yes, sir.
So what? In just a minute, I want you to walk straight down the center. No, you're looking right down the middle. You're going to walk towards the soundboard.
I hear them.
You hear them? Oh, see what we start to do? We start listening to things that didn't come from God. That's what we do. We got to be careful. Me and you talked about it. See, I told you you were stealing my sermon, didn't you? You got to be real careful listening for things that don't come from God. Studying Scripture, comparing Scripture, walking by faith. Now, you hear voices, right? Yeah, so I'm gonna lead you to the baptistry. All right, so we're gonna walk up the baptistry.
I trust you.
You're trusting me. Oh, okay. Wow. Are you sure you're trusting me? All right. So I'm gonna point you. Now you're pointing directly at the pulpit. So let's just stay right there. If we do this, and we walk, and listen, see, some of our friends do this to us, because we take our eyes off of him and off of that book. And that gets us in trouble. That gets us in huge trouble. We, men, we got to be careful listening to our wives. Hey, oh, yes, I got an amen. We got to be careful because she has an agenda. And her agenda may not be my agenda. And I love mine. Now, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be married. And we're going to go out to eat together. And, okay, she's still not mad at me. But that's what we do. I told you I'm a visual learner. And what I want to do is always make sure. Because what we, this one wasn't even in the notes. What we cover, God uncovers. If I had a book, I'd write that in a book. You had to be here early. What we cover, you're not.
That is not the baptistry.
There are a lot of versions out there, but they ain't God's word version. You better study. You better learn what God says. I'm serious. I teach kids all the time, and I tell them. Even music, I love music, but you got to be. There was an old song: "Be careful, little ears, what you. Be careful, little eyes, what you. Because the. That's our God. That's the God that helps you through the valley. That's the God that shows up when everything else seems to be in chaos. Thank you so much. All right. He said preach as long as you want. I told you I'm a visual. I was going to bring out the flashlight, but I'm not going to. But faith must remain faithful during difficult times. 2 Corinthians, obviously 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. God's people must trust. That's it. We must trust him. We can't focus on the circumstances. If you continue to focus on the circumstances, things are, you know, it's going to be bad for you. Obviously, now with when you look at that, Naomi had to make a decision. She's lost her husband, and she's going to lose her two sons. Here's an interesting thing. She gets word, or she hears, that there's bread back in the house. Can I tell you? The bread never leaves the house. As long as this word of God's here and it's being preached, the bread's never going to leave the house. You can go looking for other things somewhere else. Teenagers, young adults, you're going to go to college one day and they're going to try to teach you something different than this book right here. Did you know the U.S. Treasury does this interesting thing? They don't teach these people how to look at a counterfeit bill and all the different types. They don't do that. You know what they do? They give them the original. And they make sure that they study the original so bad that immediately when they see a counterfeit, it sticks out. If we just get back to studying the book and seeing what thus saith the Lord, that's when things will turn around and pick up. I promise you, we must, because God will always direct the steps of his people. Naomi was directed. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. He should have that on the screen there. Ruth chapter 2, verse 3. And let's read the word of God. And she went, and her harp was lit upon a part of the field belonging to Boaz. So what we have is Naomi has made her way back to the place where she was born, her homeland. And now she has this young Moabitess girl with her. And she's looking, and she's like, look, Ruth says, look, I've got to go do something. I've got to serve. We run into this all the time. And, you know, it seems like a lot of times in churches that very few people want to serve. Now, they'll be good. You're good giving them a job. But that heartbeat of a servant is needed in this generation. Because did you know that hurting people hurt people? If somebody's hurting, So if we're gonna deal with hurting people, we've got to find a way. So Naomi and Ruth, they're sitting there, and they need some food. And so she's going to, could you imagine the very first day she gets back there, and she's walking down the street, and there are fields everywhere. The odds of her landing in Boaz's field is like 1 to the 10th power. It's like of some ridiculous number, like 0.0000. I mean, you could actually Google it if you want to, or AI, however you use all that. But the odds of her getting to that field, but it was almost like the Lord led her there. So, and you can see that through Scripture. And God is going to continue to lead, and he did that for not only Naomi, he led Naomi back to the land. He also led Ruth to the field of Boaz. And you say, okay, you got some scripture for that? I'm glad you asked. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. See, you're either half in it or all in it. You can't be, you've got to determine if you're in it. We played sports. I played several different sports, and it was always very, very frustrating at some of the sports that I played, because I could always tell the people that weren't in it. And I need to know who's on my team. And the Lord says, for trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not onto your own understanding. Because if you do that, if you lean to your understanding, you know, sometimes, how many of us, you can raise your hand if you want to, but how many of us thought that we knew more than our parents did? And then when we got to be parents, we realized how smart our parents were. Yeah. I had to call my mom one day and extremely beg and apologize and say, Mom, I'm sorry, because I'm now learning that you were right in that situation. And men don't do a real good job saying we're sorry, but I had to say that day because I was wrong. The Word of God says, trust with all thy heart, lean not unto thy own understanding. God directs those who trust in him. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by who? The Lord. That's where my steps should be ordered from. If I'm walking not by the sight, but listening and God and following his word, that's where God is going to direct my path. Obviously, Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Is that okay with you sometimes that God's thoughts are not your thoughts? Because, you know, we always don't think, we think some things, and it's a good thing we don't act on those things because they're not our thoughts. God's thoughts, obviously, are going to come from his word, and you see that. And then this famous verse, Romans 8, 28, if you'll pull that up. Is that Romans 8, 28? Yeah. Okay, start with 27 first. And he that searcheth the hearts, the he there is God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he that maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see that? Not to my will, but to the will of God. Now watch this. Because this verse gets quoted a lot. And we know that all things work together for them that love God. But you got to listen to the rest of that verse. To them who are called according to their purpose. To his purpose. What, if I can ask you straight, just me to you, what is God's purpose for you? What is God's purpose for Calvary Baptist Church? What is that purpose? Do we know? There's only one way we're going to know. We're going to have to search the scriptures, right? You've got to know. So don't just, you know, don't blame it, you know, on the deacons or the choir guy, because you've got to be searching God's word too. And then when all that comes together, that's when we produce the fruit. So God is saying, look, make sure it's great. Yeah, all things work together for those who are called according to his purpose, not mine. Which you know. Hey, brother, y'all ain't sung that song, my favorite song, in a long, 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 long time. Okay. But when God tells me to sing it, I'll sing it because that's just the way I operate. When God tells me to preach it, I'll preach it. When God, you know, we have to be so careful letting God lead the steps. Ruth 2:10. Flip over back a little bit. We're just going to kind of look at scripture here. We're sitting here at Ruth, and it says she has been in the field of Boaz. She's been serving. She's just gleaning what was left on the ground. And I don't know if you've ever been in the field. I lived in North Carolina for a little while, and we picked some stuff, and picking crops and doing things in the field, my hands would get all messy. I'd get all sweaty. And it's great to get the good stuff, but there's stuff behind that we couldn't pick up. And God has a provision in his word, and he says, he's like, look, she says, look, I have found grace. She tells him, Ruth tells Boaz, she's like, look, I have found grace in your eyes. And see this conversation really quickly. God has provided for Ruth based off of his word. Boaz was a great guy, but that word of God had already provided for Ruth long before Ruth ever got there. Can I tell you and me something? During our darkest time, God was already providing for us long before we went through that dark time. I don't know what you're facing, but can I tell you, you're going to have to turn it around. You're going to have to look at the picture of what God's painting. You're going to have to walk not by your sight, but by his sight. Walking in faith. That's what we all need to do that. And God gave her, you know, she was number one, Ruth was a Moabitess from a cursed generation. She was poor. She was widowed. She was an outsider. Can you imagine? I don't know if y'all were like this. In our school, when we were going to school, they had this thing called cliques or clubs, and I was never in one of them. I was with the athletes. And anybody that was in band, what did we call those band people? Oh, band nerds. Y'all were the nerds because we were the football players. We were the men. We were good. We didn't associate with the band nerds. And then God gives me a talent to play an instrument. And guess what? Now I'm a football player and a band nerd. You don't think God's got a funny sense of humor about that? I did not think it was funny. And then he allowed me to marry a band nerd. But I'm so grateful. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. So we've got to be careful and letting our pride rise up, because God gives to the undeserving. He gave to that. And Boaz sees her, and he shows her kindness. And there's so much to this, y'all. I'm giving you, obviously, an overview. We could go verse by verse, and it's really cool. But Boaz tells his workers and says, look, I want you to let her follow behind the reapers, and I want you to let her just get hands full of purpose. And that's what God is really good about that. He just gives you hands full of purpose. When you don't need them, there have been times I was flat broke. I didn't have any money. I had a job that paid the bills. And then God looks at me and says, I want you to go to Bible college. And I said, what? Have you looked at my checking account, Lord? You want me to do what? Because Bible college ain't free. I was like, that you know, you taking classes and it's several $1,000 a month. And then God says, what did I tell you to do? I said, well, you said to go. So this is what I did. Don't try this at home. I just took one class, maybe two classes. I thought, well, I'm enrolled in Bible college. I'm taking one or two classes. And God, about the end of the semester, God goes, are you done? Are you going to do the whole thing like I told you to? So I did. I signed up. And no lie, at the end of the semester, it was about time to graduate. And I drove to Stockbridge to get my final invoice from the college. And I was nervous. And I was like, you know, in my brain, I knew exactly how much I owed to the penny. You know, let's just say it was $3,427, okay? I knew exactly to the penny what I thought I owed. So I drove up to the college, and I met with, then it was Miss Pilhart. And I met with her, and she gave me this envelope, and it was wrapped. And she said, "Here you go, brother. Thank you very much. All your information is there that you need. Just let me know if you need anything." Okay, so I took it. I drove on back to I get about to 285, and the Lord says, "Hey, big boy, you gonna open the envelope?" No, I'm not. But okay, if you insist, God. So I open it up. Scroll down to the bottom. Because you always look to the bottom at the bottom of the invoice, right? To know exactly how much you want. And I kid you not, as the Lord is my witness, it said this famous statement that we all know very, very well. Paid in full. 4 years of worrying myself sick about it. God said, "Don't you trust me?" Could you imagine Ruth? She's going through and she's picking up. She's like, "I got to get some food for my mother-in-law because I love her. Matter of fact, she's the one that showed me who you were." Woo! I want to run right there. Do you remember the day that somebody showed you who the Lord Jesus was? Wow! What a joy! Because he paid in full, all of it. God will walk with you through a lot of stuff. But he's already paid it in full. You're going to stand before him one day. Guaranteed. It's appointed unto man once to die. I hope you're trusting that it's paid in full. I hope you've accepted him. We're going to keep going because we ain't there yet, y'all. See, I told you I use visuals, y'all. I'm sorry. That's the only way I know how to do it. And then, obviously, you can look at John. It says, "In the fullness of time, we've all received the grace of God." Every blessing comes from God. God says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 9, "My grace is sufficient." Can I tell you, Calvary Baptist Church, and whoever's facing some things, you got some stuff next week. Can I tell you, God's grace is sufficient for what you're going to face? I can't help you. All I can do is pray for you and show you the Word of God. God's grace sustains me when I'm the weakest. Obviously, Boaz in Scripture pictures, and you can look at Ruth 4, 9, and 10. It says, "Ye are witnesses this day." Elimelech is going to have to purchase. Boaz is going to have to purchase Elimelech's land. But to purchase the land, he has to be, number one, willing and able to do it. He has to have the funds to do it. And he has to be willing to give up all the things that he owns himself. And if you go back in scriptures and you look at those things, Boaz had to make a choice. Because if you look at scriptures and you read some of that, he's kind of Bethlehem's eligible bachelor. He's got it all going for him. He's got the field. He's got all the property. He's got it all. And God says, "I need you to redeem this." So he goes and he has to stand before a nearer kinsman. And there's so much here. This thing is just amazing. And Boaz, obviously, he comes to this and he said, "Look," he said, "I'm not your nearest kinsman redeemer. You are." And I love that little section between him and the nearest kinsman. They're sitting there and they've got all the men of the elders around. And he's sitting there at the gate because that's where all the men, they're probably drinking coffee. Talking about, you know, different stuff. And they're all sitting there, and Boaz says, "Hey, look, I want you to redeem Elimelech's land." And that guy heard "land, boy," and he's like, "Yeah, I'll purchase that. I'll buy that." He says, "Great. And when you purchase it, you got to purchase Ruth, the Moabitess." And as soon as he heard that, brother, he said, you ever ask somebody to serve and do something? And the minute you told them what they needed to do, they go, "I don't know. You know, I got a doctor's appointment on Tuesday, and I got to be here on Wednesday." And Boaz says, "I need you to take what belongs to the Moabites as well." And he says, "I can't do that." He's like, I would mar my own name," because obviously he had children. And he didn't want to lose all of that because he had to build up what was fallen from Elimelech's family. He had to purchase all of that. Boaz purchased it with a price. Jesus purchased your life with a price. He gave his life. By the way, no man took it from him. Please don't, you know, if you're studying Scripture, make sure, don't believe a lot of this stuff out there in the world that says, oh, well, you know, no. God willingly laid down his life. He was your kinsman redeemer. Boaz paid the redemption price. Jesus paid your price with his own precious blood. Boaz gave Ruth a future. Jesus gives you eternal life. Wow. That ought to make a Baptist shout right there. That we got eternal life that we get to spend with the Lord. I hope, because I'm loud, that I get a quiet person right beside me. Because I'm going to run and hoop and holler and shout and sing. I know you like songs, and I love songs. I'm going to sing all the time. And I hope it's that other person that doesn't like all the songs I sing, because I'm going to sing it every day. Be like, what you think about Jesus now? Because Jesus paid it all for us. He gave it all. Why would we not want to obviously encourage others? And the last one I'll bring to you, and then we'll go somewhere and get a steak or some kind of meat. I could do chicken too, but we're going to probably do some meat. It's probably salsa and chips with the burrito next door, but y'all are making me hungry. Ruth 4, verse 13 through 17. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. The story obviously begins with a funeral and ends with a wedding. They produce a child. That child, it's interesting because that child ends up showing up in the lineage of Christ. Jesse begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot who? David. David was just this king, right? Just a king. Obviously, you can chase all of that down. You can read the whole lineage. But the last point was redemption produces restoration and legacy. Could you imagine the legacy that now a Moabitess woman had? She has a legacy in the lineage of Jesus. You say, well, she did have a good side from old Boaz. You're right. He was a good guy in the land, but you want to know who Boaz's mother was? Chase that down. It was Rahab the harlot. When you look back, Boaz didn't have this pretty picture. Chase the family line. We have a book that's alive, y'all. And we've got to study it. He said, study these things for your nurture and admonition in the Lord so we learn how to walk. And all of that's good. But I want to get to the last. Perhaps you're here today and you feel like Naomi. Maybe you've got some bitterness. Maybe you've lost some things. Perhaps you feel like Ruth. You have uncertainty of your future. Perhaps you need a redeemer. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is drawing you today. John 3:16 says, obviously, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave it to you. He gave it for you and for me. Romans 10:9, that if thou wilt confess thy mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55 talks about seek the Lord while he may be found. John 6:44 says that there's a drawing of the Spirit. Right now, you may be sitting here and you're like, I don't know what this is tugging at my heart. I've heard some stuff that I have never heard before. Well, that's the Lord. That's not me. I didn't do anything. I don't have any magic tricks. But I want to ask you the most important question today. And I need you to hear me. Are you 100% sure that if you died today and you had to stand before God, what would you say to him? Would he look at you and go, depart from me, I never knew you? See, you say, well, I'm a church member here. Or I'm a musician. I'm a choir member. I'm glad somebody challenged me. My grandfather looked at me and he said, I want to know. He called me boy. Boy, I want to know, do you know Jesus? Are you 100% sure that if you died today? Are you 100% sure? Because if you're 1%, you're 100% lost. And you'll die and go to a devil's hell that you weren't created for. Make sure, I'm not trying to talk you into salvation. I just want to make sure, my job is to make sure that you understand that God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And we've got to give the gospel out to people that are lost and dying and hurting. That's our great commission. That's it. That's our challenge for the Word of God. Give it out. There's people outside of these walls in this neighborhood within a five-mile radius. They're building so many subdivisions, it's crazy in Powder Springs. It's wild. They're going to need to hear the gospel. But what about you? Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? If you don't, please come. I'd love to take a Bible, not to hear what I say, but what the Lord says. That's what my heart is for you. Or do you need to come to an altar? Maybe you're Naomi this morning. And you sure are bitter about some things. Can I tell you, you can lay it right here at the foot of Jesus, and that bitter can turn better. You say, you don't know what they've done to me. You're right, I don't. But I need you to turn the picture around. Because you don't know what they faced. You don't know what happened. I've been bitter about some people. And God had to turn that thing around and let me see the other side of it. Maybe you're like Ruth. He's like, you don't know where I came from. You're right, I don't. But as the musicians come and they get ready, I'm going to invite you to come to an altar and ask God to speak to you. You want somebody to pray with you? I'll be glad to pray with you. But maybe you're here and you don't know Him. My challenge to you today, make sure you come down here, kneel where you are. If you're feeling led, answer the call this morning. Not because I want to see the altar filled. I'd rather you sit right there and deal with you between you and God. Because that's real. Matter of fact, they went to a closet back in the day. He said, go into the closet when thou pray. Sometimes I have to go in there and I have to get alone. God, search me. Deal with me. This had to deal with me long before it got to you. So my challenge to you this morning is, hey, number one, are you faithful? Do you believe that God can help you in this situation? Are you seeking God to direct you in those paths? And as he gets ready to sing, and I'm going to pray, I'm going to ask that you follow the leadership of the Lord. But keep that visual in your mind. What are you listening to? Are you seeking Him? Are you following Him? With every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, and Lord, I know this is a lot, and I pray that it got delivered like you wanted it delivered. I pray, Lord, that including myself, we would just focus on you, that we would keep our eyes focused on you and not listen to the circumstances and the things around us. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you, I pray for them. I'm not going to come to where they are. But I wouldn't be doing what God's called me to do if I didn't ask. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there's someone here that said, you know what? Pastor Bo, will you pray for me? I'm not 100% sure I know God. I'm not going to come to where you are, but I just want to know. Would you just lift your hand up, put it right back down, say, will you pray for me? I'm not 100% sure I know. If I died today, I'd go to be with the Lord. Lord, I've done what you've asked me to do. Lord, honor yourself, honor your Son, and honor your Word. Do what only you can do, Lord. And I, as the singer gets ready to sing, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would all just get around an altar somewhere, Lord, and let you direct our path. Lead us in the path, Lord, that you'd have us to go. And Lord, we know that when we get there, Lord, we will just give you all the honor and glory and praise for us. In Jesus' name we pray, if you'll stand with us as he sings. I'll be down front if you'd like to come and pray, and if you'd like to talk to someone about salvation.
Just as I am.
That's right.
Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed. God.
right.
Just as I am, and waiting to rid my soul of one dark blood to thee.
You remember that day you got saved? Are you grateful for that? Are you grateful for the day that you came just as you were?
If you would, this morning, just keep this area clear, as we still have one that's praying, but I hope that you have received the word today. We've heard the word preached, and we're thankful for that. Thankful for these that have come this way to share the gospel with us in song and in the message. If you're visiting with us again, thank you for choosing Calvary today as your place of worship. We appreciate that more than you know, and we're thankful to have you in the house of the Lord today. Please remember the service this evening, 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Wednesday, of course, 7 o'clock for Bible study and prayer meeting. And then don't forget about Thursday afternoon at 1. And please, please sign up for our 24 hours of prayer. The sign-up sheet is down front. And again, if you're listening by Facebook and you want to spend a time in prayer on Friday, if you will get in touch with someone, we'll make sure that your name is on the list. The church will be open. Someone will be here. Starting Friday at 7 o'clock p.m. through Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m., please just let's spend some time and ask the Lord to do some great things here at Calvary. If you've enjoyed being in the house of the Lord this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you for being here today. Let's ask the Lord to give us a great day, bring us back this evening. And CJ, would you take us, Lord, and close out the service this morning with prayer?